Thank you, Helen. Thank you, Ian. Living dangerously today. I'm relying on technology. I'm feeling slightly out of control, and it's just done something very strange. It asked me to copy or select all. Okay, I'm reading this morning about wisdom, and I'm acutely aware as I stand here that Peter's just come back from a holiday when he's had a week's teaching on wisdom. I did ask him if he'd like to come and preach this morning, but he declined. Now, we're used to hearing the word wisdom. It sort of crops up, doesn't it, from time to time. I was thinking last night, I was watching Dad's Army. I love Dad's Army. Anybody else here a Dad's Army fan? Absolutely love it. And I was looking at Walker, and I was thinking, worldly wise, he's savvy, he's a fixer, he can do anything, can't he? He's as wide as you like, and you wouldn't trust him further than you could kick him with a broken foot. And as he persuaded the ARP warden to cover his head in ceiling white, and it was just priceless. And I was thinking, worldly wisdom, we hear a lot about it, but actually, is it good wisdom? We talk about perceived wisdom, things which seem to be wise. We think about received wisdom, which is knowledge or wisdom that people generally believe to be true, although often it's false. And then there's conventional wisdom. Again, things that people believe to be true, the body of ideas or explanations generally accepted as truth by the public or by experts in a field, but such ideas or explanations, although widely held, are unexamined. They've never actually been really tested. And there's some wonderful bits of conventional wisdom, if we think back over the years. It wasn't so very long ago that people believed that the Earth was flat, and that if you set off in a boat and sailed in one given direction for long enough, sooner or later you just simply fall off the edge. And actually, amazingly, there is still a flat Earth society. And when I was preparing the sermon, I discovered that they have a website and they're recruiting members. So if you subscribe to the conventional wisdom that the Earth is flat, sign up. Some other little bits of conventional wisdom which I love, experts in their field. Charles Duell, who worked in the US Patent Office in 1899, said with great authority, "Everything that can be invented has been invented." Okay. Lord Kelvin, president of the Royal Society in 1883, declared that X-rays will prove to be a hoax. And there was a lovely internal memo drafted by somebody in the Western Union in 1876 who said, "This telephone has too many shortcomings to be seriously considered as a means of communication. The device is inherently of no value to us." And look at it now. Conventional wisdom, perceived wisdom, received wisdom, worldly wisdom, is great as far as it goes. But it really doesn't go very far, does it? It's limited by our horizons and our imagination. And in turn, it limits our horizons and our imaginations. If we didn't have people who could think about extraordinary bits of technology like this, they would just never happen. And if you think that not even this, but my BlackBerry sitting down on the floor there, has more technology in it than there was in the Apollo rocket that first put man on the moon, we've come a long way, and we have some extraordinary thinkers out there. So people out there who challenge conventional wisdom, who think outside the box. The Bible tells us that fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now, this isn't fear as in being afraid of. It is fear as in awe, respect, and love. It's a very positive fear. It's a nuance of the language that we've lost over the years. But it is the love of the Lord and the desire to follow him that is the beginning of wisdom. In our second lesson this morning, James 3, verse 17, we read, But the wisdom which comes from heaven is first pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Does this sound like worldly wisdom or conventional wisdom? I don't think so. Now, this letter was written by James, believed to be James, the brother of Jesus, somewhere between AD 40, AD 50. And he wrote it, as we read at the beginning of the letter, to the 12 tribes scattered. So that's the faithful people, the people of God, the believers, scattered over the known world. And it occurs to me that that is who we are. We are members of the 12 tribes. We are the faithful, scattered around Mark's Tay. We live amongst people who are not members of the 12 tribes yet. And therefore, we live among their influences. We live amongst worldly wisdom. And James is beseeching or encouraging his readers not to slip into the patterns of behaviour of those amongst whom they live. He's telling them not to live by worldly wisdom, conventional wisdom, but to use a higher wisdom, that wisdom which comes from heaven. And he asks, who is wise amongst you? Who is wise? Who would like to be wise? Sometimes when Tedra and I are talking, she will say, oh, I was talking to so-and-so the other day, and they said something very wise. It's a wonderful accolade, isn't it? I was talking to him, and he said something really wise. It's high praise, and if somebody says something wise to you, it's a nugget of information, it's a gem, it's something which you can turn over in your mind, and which you can just continue to extract goodness from. So I think it's something that we'd all like to have, isn't it? Wisdom. We'd all like to be considered wise. I was reminded of the passage in 1 Kings chapter 3, when Solomon prays for wisdom. He's in prayer and he says, God, you know, you've set me over your great people, but I'm like a child. I don't know how to rule them. So please, give your servant a discerning heart, a heart to distinguish between right and wrong, so that I can govern your people as you would have them governed. God was expecting him to ask for riches, for lands, for power, but he doesn't. He asks for wisdom. And it's not conventional wisdom that God gives him, because conventional wisdom back in those times probably would have led him to being a great warrior and to expanding his territory, taking captives, things like that. But he wants to rule wisely, justly, peacefully. And if we have such wisdom, it sets us apart from others who live by worldly wisdom. It is wisdom which will enable us to buck the trends that we see if we have the strength to do so. And it does take strength. It's one thing to have the wisdom, but there's a lot of pressure out there for us to conform to what else is going on around us. Where do we find our happiness? Do we find it on the television? Do we find it in magazines, in books, in the pub, with our friends? Those, I would put it to you, are worldly influences. That's conventional wisdom, a lot of it out there. And a lot of it is escapism. There are a lot of people who look for happiness in a bottle of wine, or in the bottom of a beer glass, or in magazines talking about celebrity lifestyles, things like that. But that is not going to change your life for the better. It's not going to erase the worldly influences amongst which we all live. The influences will still be there when you get home from the pub, when you finish the magazine, when you turn off the television. Those are forms of escapism. We need to learn to be happy despite what is going on around us, not because of what is going on around us. We need to be happy despite the worldly wisdom, despite the things that we see going wrong in the world. We won't be happy because of them. Psalm 1, verse 1, says, "Blessed or happy is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked." Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21 tells us, "Whether you turn to the left or to the right, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, 'This is the way. Walk in it.'" If we have that heavenly wisdom, which God longs to give us, He will guide us. He will keep us on that straight and narrow. But we need to pray for that wisdom. We need to receive that wisdom. And we need to listen for that voice behind us. Again, Psalm 1, verse 1, "Blessed or happy is the man who does not stand in the way of sinners." That doesn't mean standing in the way of, as in blocking sinners. It means the man is blessed if he does not stand with sinners, if he doesn't stand as sinners stand. And there's a lovely saying that if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. If you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. So we need to ask ourselves, what do we stand for? Do we stand for heavenly wisdom? Because if we don't, then we will fall for worldly wisdom. And think about the way the word fall is used in the Bible. The fall of man. How Lucifer fell. Psalm 1, verse 1 says, "Blessed or happy is the man who does not sit in the seat of mockers." Psalm 139, verse 2 says, "You, God, know when I sit and when I rise." If He knows when I sit and when I rise, you can guarantee that He knows where I sit and where I rise. So if I'm sitting in the seat of mockers, He will know it. When are you happiest? When am I happiest? I know there are many things that make me happy, but I know that the most fundamental happiness I feel is when I'm in God's will. There have been times when, you know, I'm doing something for God, you know, working on a course, an alpha course, whatever sort of course it may be, and I'm really excited. I'm starting CCS, the course of Christian Studies, this week. And I know that I'm going to be immersing myself in the Word, studying it, reading it, dwelling on it, praising God. And I just know that I'm going to feel so good. It's going to be hard work, but I'm going to feel so good because that's when I feel happiest, when I'm working for God, when I'm in His will. Not when my prayer life is lackluster or when I'm listening to something on my iPod on the way into work other than praise. I listen to other things as well. I don't listen to praise all the time. But I know that if I listen to praise on my way to work, my day is better because I'm centered. I'm centered in God. So when do you feel happiest? Do you feel happiest when you're in the will of God as well? And if you do feel happiest there, can you tell when you're drifting away? When you're sort of going out of center, as you sort of start to drift off in one direction? I don't know from my own experience that I don't think I'm aware of it as I drift away to one side, but I suddenly become aware of the fact that something isn't quite right, and I stop and I get my bearings and I think, yes, that's where I need to be. Back in God's will, trying to use heavenly wisdom, not the earthly wisdom, the worldly wisdom that surrounds us. 1 Corinthians 1, verses 18 and 21 say this: the teaching about the cross is foolishness to those who are being lost, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Because of the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through its own wisdom, but God chose the message that sounds foolish to save those who believe. And that is the sort of wisdom that James is talking about. It's a sort of wisdom that is so countercultural that to those who do not believe, it sounds like foolishness. To serve, to love, to give, that's not what the world is about. But that is God's plan for our salvation. Romans 2:12 says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The renewing of your mind to stand against the worldly wisdom and to stand in the way of heavenly wisdom. Jay Packer, in his book Knowing God, says this of wisdom, and I love this quote: wisdom is the power to see and the inclination to choose the best and highest goal, together with the surest method of attaining it. Wisdom is, in fact, the practical side of moral goodness. Wisdom is the power to see and the inclination to choose the best and highest goal, together with the surest means of attaining it. Wisdom is, in fact, the practical side of moral goodness. And I was very struck, again, by the last bit of our reading. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Submit yourself to heavenly wisdom. It goes against the grain, the worldly grain. But submit yourselves to that wisdom, to God. Resist the devil, and the worldly wisdom is not of God, therefore it must be of the devil. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come near to God. Come near. Stand in heavenly wisdom, and God will draw close to you. Amen.